What do you call this?
This is The Vibe.
You've got The Vibe.
My favorite podcast.
It's the WCLT Vibe Podcast.
I'm Kelsey, and today we're joined by motivational speaker and CEO of Camp Because I Said I Would, Alex Sheen. Alex, we're so excited to have you joining the show today, and I know that you have an event coming up this weekend.
Yeah, you know, National Grief Awareness Day is on August 30th, and we're doing a 111-mile remembrance walk at our 92-acre retreat center. So 111 represents the fact that 1 in 11 children in the United States will lose a parent or a sibling before they turn 18. And when they do, cases of post-traumatic stress disorder, substance abuse challenges, even suicidal ideation, it doesn't increase like 5%, 30%. I mean, that would be bad enough. But in some cases, it like goes up 500%. And so the weight of grief on our society is very heavy. And it's not just kids, of course, adults as well. I mean, honestly, I think of even Dolly Parton, right? You know, our whole country mourns for the loss of an amazing human being. And but when we bring that close to a family, it's something that not only affects us personally, but also echoes into our family. It's also something that we don't want to talk about. We live in a death avoidance society. So yeah, August 30th to September 5th, we're doing this remembrance walk. People can go to our website, camp.becauseisaidiwould.org/111 and learn more.
Now, going back to kind of what this all goes to, tell us a little bit more about the inspiration behind Camp Because I Said I Would.
Yeah, Because I Said I Would is a 501c3 charity that was actually inspired by my dad. My father was a man of his word. You know, if he said he was going to be there for you, the dude just showed up. And when it comes to being resilient like that and following through on your promises, it seems like people don't keep their promises anymore, you know. So I mentioned that it's in the memory of my dad because my father was diagnosed with stage 4 small cell lung cancer. And on September 4th of 2012, he passed away in our home in Powell. I grew up in Ohio. And so I was asked by my family to give his eulogy. And I created this thing I call a promise card. You know, it's just a blank piece of paper. It says, because I said I would in the corner. You write a promise on the card. You give it to the person you're making that commitment to. You tell them, I'm going to fulfill that promise. That card belongs to me. I'm coming back for that. You fulfill your promise. You earn your card back and you keep it as a reminder that you're a person of your word, you know. And I just introduced this card to say goodbye to my dad and have part of his memory live on. Well, I made a post about this. I said, I'll mail 10 cards to anybody anywhere in the world at no cost to anyone, which, Kelsey, was the dumbest financial decision I've ever made, because we've now distributed over 16.5 million promise cards to over 178 countries around the world and by request only. So it would go viral through social media because that thought of being resilient, following through on your commitments, fighting the good fight against the adversity in your life is something that we all understand.
Now, that's absolutely a powerful statement. What do you think that does for people? Why do you think it touches so many people?
You know, when it comes to our commitments, we all have positive intentions. But, you know, intention and $4 buys you a cup of coffee. You know, it's not going to be enough. And so we've all struggled with promises that we've made. We've definitely struggled with the commitments that people have broken to us. But actually, one of the reasons I think it resonates with people, no matter your culture, your language, actually has to do with the frontal lobe of our brain, meaning that if you ask a person a question about the future and put them in an MRI machine, the frontal lobe of their brain will actually light up. And we don't know exactly what's going on there, but it's when you think about the future, which is kind of interesting because we're one of the only organisms that truly, really comprehends the existence of the future. Now, obviously, you know, different animals have some grasp of it, but certainly not like humans. And because we can think through the future, that means we can plan and create, you know, radio stations and civilization and all these great things. But at the same time, it gives us the capacity to worry. Because even when we're little kids, we say to ourselves, oh, well, I don't know what I'm going to wear to school. I don't want them to pick on me, or I need to get these grades and get a scholarship. And how much is a house? And I've got to meet a person by what age, or I'm weird, or, you know, like we have all these anxieties about the future. And then someone comes around and says, Kelsey, I don't know all about that, but on Thursday, 4 o'clock, as sure as the sun will rise on that day, you are going to see my face. And don't worry about that thing. I got it. You know, I think it like washes over us that we like have some reliability in life. And that's why it connects with us all.
I think you're absolutely right. Now, when it comes to Camp Because I Said I Would, who does it help and how does it help them?
As much as I talk about promise cards and, you know, my dad or whatever, the charity is actually focused on resiliency skills and mental health habits. So those are things like stress management, the four types of self-control, understanding negative thinking patterns. That's actually what we do on our programs inside of schools, which I would love to do more programs in schools in Licking County and the surrounding areas. We're located in Knox County. But our camp is specifically then doing programs with youth facing mental health adversities or just, you know, every kid is going through a challenge. In fact, I was talking to a board member today and about a statistic. 39.7% of all teenage children in the United States report that they have sustained feelings of hopelessness, like kind of all the time, you know. And so we work with kids, help them build those resiliency skills and mental health habits. But one of the areas that we work on is helping grieving families after tragic loss, of which we've helped a lot of Central Ohio families. We work with groups like the Mothers of Murdered Columbus Children, with different hospice organizations, or just individuals that come to us. We have an adult 3-day, 2-night bereavement retreat. So that's another example of a program. But again, it all centers around resiliency skills and mental health habits.
I feel like you don't hear too much about like different organizations that are centered around grief and trauma. Why do you think that is?
It goes back to that thought of death avoidance society. You know, we don't want to talk about it, but we all know the sun is going to set on us someday, and it can be healthy to talk about it, to memorialize the ones that we love, to live with the character values that they have. We don't have to hide these things, because when we do, we don't get the help, the support that we need. And a lot of people on the outside of this space in grief will say things like, oh, you'll get through it, or you'll get over it. It's like grief is not something you get over. It's something you carry with you in a healthy way. You know, like hopefully with my dad teaching me how to keep my promises, stay resilient, you know. It's not to say that I don't have days where I cry or I feel that weight, but can I do that in a way that's healthy and doesn't affect, you know, my everyday life? That's absolutely possible, but it's difficult.
Do you have any specific advice for people who may be struggling with grief?
Yeah, absolutely. Looking towards mental health habits, the first piece of advice I would have is to have the hope that we can develop these habits. Things like deep breathing exercises to lower the cortisol in your blood, understanding the four types of negative thinking, like catastrophizing, all or nothing thinking, negative self-labeling, these types of understanding, like these thinking patterns, be like, oh, that's just what I'm doing. I'm catastrophizing right now. I can have thoughts and not believe them. Obviously, there are mental health services out there to have conversations and talk therapy and things like that. But the biggest advice I would have is that not everything works with everybody. We have to be kind of our own experiment when it comes to mental health and even on a grief journey, to say like, which combination of these tactics really, really help me. And so for folks out there who are going through a loss, you know, if you're looking for somewhere to go or, you know, just a program, a connection, it doesn't hurt to reach out to us at camp.becauseisaidiwould.org.
Do you find anything specifically with children in those grief scenarios, or is there like commonalities in those types of kids?
Yeah. Grief affects children in a very different way, and the way that they process it, programs even can be designed differently. We have a licensed professional clinical counselor on staff at all times. And so, you know, leaning towards those professionals to help design programs is a huge thing. But when it comes to children, and this actually applies to adults, but may apply to children a little bit more. If we just acknowledge the fact that it's hard to say it, right? Hard to express it. Sometimes that's where things like journaling or art therapy can come in, because it creates a different medium to share the same feeling or message or challenge, if that makes sense. Like in the thought of art therapy, I don't know, I'm too like a masculine boy kind of nonsense where I'm just like, I don't understand art therapy. You know, that was my opinion back in the day. But it's like, if it's so hard to say out loud how you feel, and writing it down or singing a song about it or drawing a picture of it helps you get to that spot where you can express yourself. Human beings are not a perfect science. I wish it was just like, well, you just say it and you just do it. It's like, it's not like that. you know? And so if that's the medium that works for you, that's good. And sometimes, you know, kids, you know, gravitating towards a type of therapy like that can happen a little bit more than maybe adults who still it's challenging, but they, you know, they can say it. And again, not a perfect science, but we do see the thought of that playing out a little bit more in kids.
I think you hit it right on the head there in a one size does not fit all. In this case, you know, grief looks different for everybody. But tell us a little bit more about the camp and the facility and the things that you guys offer on site there.
Yeah. So 3 years ago, we bought a facility called Indian Bear Lodge and Winery out in Walhonding, Ohio, real close to the Licking County border, but in Knox County, actually close to the Coshocton County border as well. But about 45 miles as the crow flies east of Columbus. And yeah, it used to be like a winery. So it's got like five hot tubs, a three-tier cedar sauna, a vineyard. I hired a professional escape room designer, which apparently is a job now. And, you know, they put that in there. But, you know, a 92-acre property where, again, you know, we have grief programs, but we also do resiliency and mental health programming for like nonprofit staff because these are tough jobs. I mean, in Knox County, we were working with New Directions, the rape crisis and domestic violence nonprofit in the region. And so that's a tough job, along with a lot of other nonprofit jobs, even teachers, right? We want to be a resiliency center for other nonprofits. So if any listeners are just like connected through a charity by being on their board or a volunteer, like let them know we exist and we can help, you know, build those stress management skills and all those things that can help the helpers kind of thing. But we have 16 bedrooms, 13 baths. We just built a $1.7 million like event venue with a commercial kitchen and everything, including we've got a mile of forest trails, which is where I'll be doing that 111-mile remembrance walk. So lots going on at camp. We have a calendar on our website, and we're just always looking for ideas on how to help the local community because our organization spread through social media kind of thinly around the globe, and that's great. But our 92-acre worldwide headquarters is serving, you know, the 4 or 5 counties around our area the most, and we're looking for more and more connections.
What is your hope and goal with Camp Because I Said I Would?
Yeah, we want to not use it as a regional hub. You know, I want the thought of resiliency skills and mental health habits not to be this like, oh, interesting idea. You know, we should do that. Like, that's how most people respond to these thoughts and mental health. Heck, if it was my decision, we'd change federal legislation in the whole country to have these resiliency skills and mental health habits taught in schools. So a charity like ours wouldn't even exist, you know, but we're fighting the good fight for our folks. And I'm just so glad to be here on this radio station because at camp, this is the like one of the only radio stations that we even get. And so when we bought camp, I was in like a RV for like 6 months living there. And I just listened to you guys like all the time, day and night. I actually more into country music because of the station. But anyways,
awesome.
we just want to do more to make it a feeling in Ohio that we are resilient. We care about mental health. And that means that we work on ourselves in a positive way. And again, whether it's through our charity or any other nonprofit that does similar work, this is all good stuff.
What is the best way for somebody to practice Because I Said I Would today?
Yeah. You know, if you get bored enough, go to becauseisaidiwould.org. We have videos that share stress management tactics, the 4 types of self-control, all that kind of good stuff. But I think one of the biggest pieces to having positive resiliency in your life is to find an accountability partner of some kind, right? Now, some people think, oh, that's a support group. No. Your grandma, you call her every Wednesday, say, hey, grandma, I'm working on exercise. I got to run this number of miles. Can you just like ask me about it every Wednesday? There is somebody in your life that cares enough about you. If they were to hear I'm working on myself, they would kind of interact with you in that way. And I think that we all can benefit from some positive accountability in our life instead of looking at accountability as this kind of punitive thing. So there's a lot of habits and tactics out there to keep positive, but we needed someone to check in with, whether that's a nonprofit, a support group, or just a good friend. It helps.
I feel challenged just now when you say that because I am so big on executing what I say I'm going to do that sometimes I won't say it out loud. Yeah. And do you ever find yourself doing that?
Oh yeah, there's a phobia with promises. you know, when you get into like, oh, I gotta do all the, you know, and I like wear the same shirt every day, so everyone's calling me out, and any mistake I make, which is fine. But the only way to keep all your promises is to not make any. And to be honest, it's a little harsh to say, but that's a coward's life. We cannot shy away from our responsibilities and what we need to do for ourselves, our families, our country, whatever cause you might care about. And so we can't have this negative self-label of like, oh, I don't keep promises. We got to just keep trying. Fall down 7 times, get up 8, you know, old Japanese proverb. But with that, it's hard to feel the sting of breaking a promise, but we've got to put it out there.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's something about seeing something visually on a piece of paper, just like you mentioned. I think that really helps stick. And I, you know, you see people, they put a goal or vision boards, even you see they put a vision board, and then, you know, even if it's silly or it seems silly, if you're dreaming about it and putting it on paper or putting it out there, then you have something to kind of hold you accountable, or at least to keep you heading in the right direction towards your goal.
That's a perfect example. And I'm going to connect it to radio right now because, okay, back in the 1970s, we would see about 500 ads a day, right? So passing billboards, radio ads, stuff. They believe that number is something like 5,000 ads today. We know through consumer sciences that, well, they would teach me this at business school at Ohio University, go Bobcats, but you need 7 touch points. You need 7 reminders, 7 ads to a prospective customer to convert the sale, right? And it's not a perfect math, but are we doing that for ourselves though? Like, do we have 7 reminders to be like, oh yeah, we got to get that blood pressure down? Or it's like, no, I do need to maybe talk to a therapist, or whatever your goal might be. Are you constantly reminding yourself of that? So if it is as silly as a promise card on your refrigerator, or maybe you change the background of your phone to be like a message that's like, hey, we're doing this. Let's take what we know about human behavior and apply it to good, you know, to all these positive promises that we have. So yeah, how do you advertise to yourself?
Absolutely. I think that power of accountability, there's something to be said in that, and having the people in your life who support you to do that. You mentioned earlier about having volunteer opportunities. What do those look like, and how can people get involved?
Yeah, volunteerism is so important to a 92-acre retreat center, right? And the cool thing is that volunteers, when they come out, I mean, swim in the lake or go on the canoes or do whatever. I don't care. If you could stain one of our picnic tables or pull some weeds in the vineyard, if you can help in any way, making that property great is going to help those grieving families come to a place that's functional and comforting and clean. And we're looking for volunteer groups desperately this fall, the winter. Again, we have 5 hot tubs, so you know, we've got cabins everywhere, and we run around all year doing programs inside of our camp. So that being said, we're looking for volunteer groups. I don't care if it's you and 3 of your friends, you know, please reach out to us at camp.becauseisaidiwould.org. Again, we're in Walhonding, Ohio, and we'd love to have you. But some listeners might be like, I can't make it out that way. We've got remote volunteer opportunities. Are you good with writing? Well, check our website, and how can we improve that? Are you a lawyer? Well, help us with our camp waivers or something. You like fundraising? I need 3 golf carts desperately. I'm trying to find one because a couple of ours have the transmission went out in one, the battery went out in another. Anyways, these are my problems. But the point being is that we're looking for remote volunteers as well, including college interns. So volunteerism can mean a lot of different things with us. But if you look at the Bureau of Labor Statistics, 75.1% of all Americans don't volunteer a single hour in an entire year. So even if it's not with us, just find any charity that you care about. Make that promise to them, because I assure you, as a CEO of a nonprofit, we're all looking for help.
Is there anything else that you want to mention about Camp Because I Said I Would, or where people can get more information?
Yeah, we do community events too. Like, we're going to do this Thanksgiving thing and this like Christmas pop-up, you know, kind of holiday party. We did a Halloween event last year, and we've got, you know, constantly all these different types of programs. So whether it's coming as an individual or partnering with your company to do a retreat with us, nonprofit programs, grief. I mean, there's a lot of things that resiliency and mental health habits can help, but camp.becauseisaidiwould.org. And if you're interested in that 111-mile remembrance walk that starts on August 30th, that is camp.becauseisaidiwould.org/111.
You've got the vibe. Listen for New Vibe, available wherever you download podcasts.